Hey, Luke Garrity here from the Red Bluff Vineyard. I'm one of the pastors. This past Sunday, we actually accidentally did not record both sermons at the 9 and the 11 o'clock services. So I wanted to actually just take a few minutes here and basically redo the sermon and give you an opportunity to catch up for those of you that were unable to join us for the Sunday morning services. One of the most common questions I get asked when I'm having meetings with different people around the community is this question of what's up with the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people seem to have a lot of questions about who the Holy Spirit is. And I think it's an interesting question because oftentimes what I've found is that people have that question because they either have had some past experiences in church that have either weirded them out or they've been excited from, and they have a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives personally and corporately as a church. And so it's for that reason that we're currently in this sermon series called The Holy Spirit, and we're subtitling it The Road to Pentecost because after Jesus was crucified and resurrected from the dead, he actually promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts in chapter 2, 40 days after the resurrection, and that's the holiday Pentecost, and so we're kind of moving towards that. And so anyway, one of the things that I've recently been thinking about is how sometimes our past and our experiences and our church, backgrounds, significantly shapes the way that we think about the Holy Spirit. And I found this to be really true in the way that people articulate their opinion on who the Holy Spirit is. In fact, just in the last couple of weeks, I've heard several times people say something to the effect of, hey, you don't have to get too worried because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And people say that, and I think it's oftentimes said in a way that's to make people feel a little bit more comfortable with the idea of the Holy Spirit's presence and the activity of the Holy Spirit because maybe they've seen some really weird stuff. And so that sentence that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman sometimes is shared in a way that is to give people peace of mind, I think. And at the same time, too, I know lots of people who would say that the Holy Spirit has wrecked their life. The Holy Spirit entered into their life and just destroyed them, and he came in a really powerful way. And so personally, I've had both of those experiences. I've had times where it seems as if the Holy Spirit is gentle in the way that he ministers in my life, and then other times I've had encounters with God that seem to be very powerful, and it seems like it was more like what God did to me rather than what I allowed him to do. And what I've been thinking about a lot when I consider these different ways we think about the Holy Spirit is that, you know, the Holy Spirit works in our lives in a way in which we need him to. And so I think our relationship with the Holy Spirit is very similar to the way that we can think about parenting. Like, my wife, Dawn, and I have 5 different kids, but we don't parent each of our children the same, right? Like, we parent them in the ways that are most effective for the given child that we're dealing with. I think discipleship or following Jesus is a lot like parenting. And so for some people, it would seem that the Holy Spirit is very aware, obviously, because the Holy Spirit is God, but the Holy Spirit's very aware of the fact that people sometimes need to have patience and they need a gentle work in their life. And then other people, maybe it's because they have pride or whatever it is, they just need God to kind of like break the boxes that they've built and just to demonstrate that he is sovereign. And so the topic of the Holy Spirit is obviously a really important topic for us to talk about in the church because a lot of people have had either some weird experiences or because of some encounters that they can't explain, they have questions about who the Holy Spirit is. And so that's one of many reasons why we're doing this series. But another reason why I think talking about the Holy Spirit is absolutely important for the church is because Jesus placed a very high value on the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so the sermon that I shared on Sunday, we looked at John chapter 14, John chapter 16, and a passage in 2 Corinthians 2. And so I want to read those passages for those of you who are listening. The first is in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, and it's where Jesus talks about the importance of the coming of the Spirit. And he says this, he says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And then in chapter 16, starting in verse 5, Jesus goes on to say, "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." And so Jesus makes it really clear, abundantly clear in John 14, 15, and 16, those chapters in the Gospel of John, that the coming of the Spirit was absolutely important for his disciples. And it's interesting because he says it is best that he would go to the cross because the Holy Spirit would come. And so sometimes we talk about the importance of Jesus' death on the cross being purely for the fact that we experience our salvation because of his death on the cross, which is obviously a very important part of the gospel message, the good news of the kingdom. But interestingly enough, Jesus also says that it's to our advantage that he is crucified and ascends to heaven after the resurrection, because then the Holy Spirit would come. And so Jesus makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is absolutely important for Christians, followers of Jesus. But Paul, the apostle, also says at the end of his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter he wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says this. He says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So Jesus places this high value on the Holy Spirit. And there's many other passages of scriptures that we can find Jesus making that emphasis, and we'll study some of those in the future, coming weeks. But Paul also makes that clear, that he wanted his readers, the followers of Jesus living in the city of Corinth, to have a relationship with the triune God, and especially the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that Greek word fellowship is koinonia, which can also be translated as partnership. And so the fellowship or partnership of the Holy Spirit that we could have with God. And so those are just kind of some reasons why biblically talking about the Holy Spirit is important. And I already talked about some of the practical reasons. And so for the duration of the rest of the sermon, I basically laid out four things, four identity markers, I guess, or explanations to answer the question of who is the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing we talked about was this: the Holy Spirit is God. So when we talk about who is the Holy Spirit, the first thing we need to realize is that we're talking about God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And the Trinity, which I know is a complicated, or it may feel like a complex doctrine, but it is a mystery, absolutely. But the scriptures teach us that God, there is only one God, and he exists eternally as three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're not ordered in importance, though. They're all equally God. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And that is actually what separates Christian orthodoxy, the right beliefs, from false teachings. There's other organizations out there that will call themselves Christians, but they deny the fact that Jesus is fully God, or they deny that the Holy Spirit is God. And they'll say things like the Holy Spirit is the force of God, or the active breath of God. And you have to be careful, because what people oftentimes are doing there is they're trying to minimize the godhood of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is fully God. And that's why we read throughout the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is to be prayed to be worshiped. The Holy Spirit has a sovereign will to give gifts according to his own purposes. So the first thing we talked about was the Holy Spirit is God. And the second thing is that the Holy Spirit is the agent of redemption. The agent of redemption. And that might seem kind of like a technical concept, being the agent of redemption. But all that is to say is that salvation is experienced by the Spirit through the Son, Jesus, and on behalf of the Father. So we would not actually experience our salvation if it were not for the Holy Spirit awakening our hearts. And the way to kind of think about that is that no one's going to stand in heaven someday and stand before the Father and say, "Man, I am so glad that I made all the decisions to follow Jesus, so I'm the reason why I'm here." Everybody agrees that we will ultimately give glory and praise and worship to God because we realize that it was the Holy Spirit who awakens our hearts to see Jesus for who he is. It was Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, and all of this was done for the glory of the Father. And so the Holy Spirit is the agent of redemption. Salvation is experienced because of the Holy Spirit's work in our personal lives. And the third thing we talked about was that the Holy Spirit is how we experience God's presence. In fact, we don't experience God's presence in any way, shape, or form without the Holy Spirit. Because what we see in Scripture is that after Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected, and then he was ascended. He ascended to heaven. And one of the reasons why that's an important doctrine for us is because when Jesus ascended to heaven, it demonstrated that the sacrifice that Jesus had made was acceptable to the Father. And so the ascension is important. But after that, Jesus sent his Spirit to be in his place. And so every time we experience God's presence or God's power, it's through the work of the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that I talked about was that the Father's love, the love of God, is actually communicated to us through the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes that in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. He says, "For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." So we turn to Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. We come to a place of knowing God because of the Holy Spirit. Anytime we have a sense of God's great love for us, it's because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial to Christian identity and crucial to Christian experience, because we don't experience spiritual things in the kingdom of God apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth thing I talked about, so the first being the Holy Spirit is God, the second being the Holy Spirit is the agent of redemption, the third being that the Holy Spirit is how we experience God's presence. The fourth thing I talked about was that the Holy Spirit empowers our communication of God's presence and love to other people. And I think what I find so important about that is that sometimes when people hear that the Holy Spirit empowers us to communicate God's love, they might jump to the conclusion that I'm talking about the Holy Spirit empowering our preaching. And the assumption is that, well, if we're going to communicate God's love to the world, then we need to become preachers and the Holy Spirit's going to empower us. But the thing that's important for us to realize is that not all communication is through words. In fact, several times in the Apostle Paul's letters, specifically writing to the Romans and to the church in Thessalonica, Paul actually says there was a threefold pattern of gospel communication. He says that it was through the message of Jesus, like the preaching or the content. We can do that, obviously, here in the church at the Vineyard, or you might share the message of Jesus at home with your kids, or perhaps you share the message of Jesus over coffee when you're meeting with one of your friends. But it always included this threefold pattern, the first being the message of Jesus, the content of Jesus' life and his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. It also was confirmed through signs and wonders. And so anytime we pray for somebody and see a miraculous move of God, and perhaps we're praying for somebody to be healed, well, those demonstrations of the kingdom have a way of confirming the message and are just as much a part of gospel proclamation. And the third thing is the way that we live our lives. The way that we live our lives has the potential of being a salt or a light in a very dark world. And so when I say the Holy Spirit empowers our communication of God's presence, what I mean by that is that all the different ways that we can communicate about God and his kingdom, about Jesus, the Son, about all the good news of God's kingdom, all of the communication that happens has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That is how we're going to make a difference in the city of Red Bluff. That's going to be the way that we make a difference in the world. So the Holy Spirit's presence is absolutely crucial. And so after sharing those four things about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit is the agent of redemption, that we don't experience salvation apart from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how we experience God's presence and His love. And it's also, the Holy Spirit is also who empowers our communication of those attributes and things of the kingdom. After we did that, we also spent a few minutes praying that we would not be afraid of the Holy Spirit, that we would not have anxiety in thinking about inviting the Holy Spirit's presence more into our lives. And we spent a little bit of time praying that the Holy Spirit would be more involved and more active in each one of our lives. And so that's basically what we talked about. I think I had a couple little stories, but I can't remember them off the top of the head right now. But I do hope that this kind of summary helps you. And I obviously want to encourage you to really make some space in your life to be more intentional about welcoming the Holy Spirit, being attentive to the Holy Spirit's work in your life, and following the leadership of the Spirit, because that is how we can make a difference in our city, and as well as how we can continue to grow. Anyway, I hope you have a great week, and I'm really looking forward to this coming Sunday because my wife, Dawn Garrity, is going to be doing a sermon. She's going to be doing the sermon, and she's talking about the Holy Spirit in me. And so she's going to talk a little bit more about the practical aspect of a personal relationship with the Spirit, and she's going to talk about how she, as a wife, as a mother, as a sister, as a daughter, as a person who's a friend, how she actually engages with the Holy Spirit. So we hope to see you on Sunday at 9 or 11, and we hope you have a great week.